On this Feast of the Baptism, though, I want to focus on rites of passage. Rites of passage, what are they and why are they important? What do they have to do with the readings in the today's feast? And then what can you do about it? Why are they important? What do they have to do and what can you do about it? So, why are rites of passage important? Well, what rites of passage, these, it's an event in the life of an individual where they go from one place to another place. It's not physically moving one place. It's arriving or it's growing into or it's growing into adult. It's a change of phase, right? From childhood to adulthood, from students to employed, from single to married. Like these, there are these events in our lives that are very important. And so traditionally, historically, in human history, there have been these what have been called rites of passage. Rites of passage typically have three time phases. You have the separation where the person leaves the community, leaves ordinary life, leaves the safety of childhood. For example, there is this in-between phase where that individual is kind of on their own and they're discovering and it's kind of asking questions, wrestling, all these things. The in-between, existing alone between childhood and adult. And then the reintegration, arriving, discovering, self-discovery, meaning, responsibility, like claiming like that identity. And these are important because if we miss out on rites of passage, you have hiccups in the development of individuals. For example, you have a growing phenomenon in modernity where you have this kind of perpetual phase of adolescence. In other words, adult adolescence, where you have young people for various reasons, and I'm not saying this in accusatory faith, but you have young people who are kind of having difficulty becoming an adult. And so you have this extended period of like this childhood, even going so far as children staying at their home. All right. And I'm not saying this in accusatory for any of y'all who are in this place, but I'm just saying like we as a culture are finding new struggles because rites of passage, they're part of these like community cultures, these cultures that are really bound up in the community. But we in America, we're very much about the individual. There's a trade-off. That's what I'm suggesting. To shift from the community to the individual, you lose the rites of passage. And so a consequence of that is that I believe we're discovering the challenge of that hyper-individuality. In that there are many young people who are actually adults who find that difficult, very difficult, right? So without a rite of passage, you have that fact. But also without a true rite of passage, if you don't have that wrestling, if you don't have the in-between, if you don't have that time of self-discovery, and you just go from straight from childhood to adulthood, or fate, you know, or beginning phase to advanced phase, then there's no meaning for that, and you just kind of like let go. It has no meaning. And that's what I see a lot in our Catholic experience, that we introduce our young people to the faith without true wrestling, without true integration. And then when they become adults, it doesn't mean anything and they just leave the practice of the faith. I'm just observing, again, a consequence of moving from a community identity to a hyper-individualism. Without rites of passage, we have trouble going from that beginning phase to the advanced phase of life. Okay? So that's rites of passage. And that's why they're important. What do rites of passage have to do with today's feast? Well, one, Jesus enters himself into a rites of passage. He was not born and then suddenly, when he learned to talk, he was preaching the gospel. When he learned to walk, he walked on water. When he learned, there was a definite shift from his private life to his public ministry. And if you look closely, it has the elements of a rite of passage. Separation. What happens? Jesus is baptized today. What happens immediately after Jesus' baptism in the Bible? I'm not going to ask, does anyone know what happens in the Bible immediately after Jesus' baptism? Okay, I got one, two hands. Anyone have an educated guess? All right. If you read the Synoptic Gospels, right after Jesus' baptism, what does he do? He goes into the desert. 40 days. That kind of in between, the liminal time, this in between time. Jesus is baptized. Then he goes 40 days in the desert, this wrestling, this kind of self discovery, existing alone. And this is the harder question. What is Jesus' first public miracle is the wedding feast of Cana. The wedding feast of Cana. That's his reintegration, where he performs his miracle and the disciples, and that's the inauguration of the public ministry. Jesus has a rite of passage from the hidden years of Nazareth to his public ministry as a Messiah. Okay. But why? What does it have to do with you and me? Rites of passage also have elements, not just the three phases elements of separation in between liminal and reintegration. It also has other pieces of it. Again, it's part of that communal culture that is not part of our American experience. A big part of a rites of passage is you have these elders, those who have gone before you, leading you and saying, look, you could do this. Someone calling you to make that leap of faith. Someone inviting you to go into that place of wrestling, even though it is scary. It is scary to step out on your own. It is scary, but you have these elders, right? Second thing you have. If you have an identity that is given, not made. See, the struggle we have in our American culture without a rite of passage is we have so many questions about identity, and we're all about making an identity for ourselves. And we find our identity and our talents, our skills, or something else. I once heard someone say, many of us, again, find our identity in like sports and stuff like that. The struggle with that is if your identity is something you do, then when you don't, you aren't. Let that sink in. If your identity is in something you do, or something external, right? Like your sports, your smarts, even good looks, or something external. Like, if that's your identity, then when you don't, you aren't. Okay. So rite of passage, you have the elders, you have those who are calling you forth. The rite of passage, you have this identity that is given, not made. So you go into the desert to discover the gift of identity. You don't go into the desert to kind of like, oh, let me take a little profile thing and find out my best skills, and then I'm going to be, oh, I'm a firefighter. That's my identity. Okay, I'm not downplaying these jobs, but if that's your identity, then all right. Another part, the third part of these rites of passage is when you receive that gift of identity, then you recognize how to live out of the identity, how to be a gift to the world, right? And so we see that in today's readings. The first reading, you hear, this is God talking to the servant. This is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I, the Lord, have called you for the victory of justice. I have grasped you by the hand. I formed you and set you as a covenant of the people, a light for the nations, to open the eyes of the blind, to bring out prisoners. You hear God calling And in our baptism, this is where, like again, the church is offering you a rite of passage. In your baptism, you have the Father calling His children. By the way, that's why we have holy water at every entrance of the church. It's a reminder of this baptism, this fundamental call. It's the Father who calls you. And what does He call you? He gives you your identity. It is a gift. It is not something you have to make. It is not something you have to invent. It's not something you have to figure out. You just have to receive it. The gospel reading. Jesus, the beloved of the Father. What does the Father say to Him in the gospel? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. This is identity. And the Father declares the love of the Son. And Jesus hasn't performed any miracles yet. He has not done any preaching yet. This is the identity. This is unconditional love. Y'all, this is a challenge of our hyper-individuality. We live in a world of conditional love. The challenge of having your love being in your successes. Again, that's another facet of our American culture. You're loved when you get good grades. You're loved when you achieve. You're loved when you win. The consequence of that is if you don't get good grades, you don't feel loved. Again, this is the world of conditional love. If you lose and you don't feel loved, if you fail, you don't feel loved. If the only time I feel loved is when I have success, then you're going to need successes every day. And that's exhausting. That's exhausting, that trying to win, earn love. But again, that's our American culture. The love that God offers, unconditional love, is in your identity. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In your baptism, the Father says that to you. This is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. In your baptism, the Father speaks your identity. And that's why every time I leave the church, I make that prayer. When I dip my finger in the holy water, that's the prayer I make. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Right? And that's such a big difference. If you're trying to earn love, successes, that's exhausting. If you learn how to be loved in your weakness, to be loved unconditionally, you'll never run out of opportunities to be loved in your weakness. Again, this is contrary to our American culture, and so it's a challenge and struggle. That's the rite of passage. The third aspect of the rite of passage is on your arrival. In that maturity, that growing up, that maturity, you have something to offer. This is a second reading. Paul says, Jesus baptized. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And this is in your baptism too. In baptism, Jesus wasn't forgiven in His baptism. He had no sins. But Jesus was empowered. The Holy Spirit that He had is now activated. Right. And so often, yeah, many of us in our Catholic faith, without that rite of passage, we're kind of either in perpetual infancy, where we doubt who we are, we doubt that God is there, we doubt that we have something to offer. Rites of passage, right? The church offers that to you. But the fact is, most of us, how many of you were baptized as babies? Me too. All right. How do we make sense of this if we're baptized as babies? That's why I really believe there's power in stepping out in your faith in other ways. And that's why I'm trying to provide as a parish things that look like rites of passage. I see we have how many kids going on the March for Life next week? At least one kid, one adult. We need more. All right, this March for Life trip, I don't know, 14th time doing this. I don't know how many times I've done this trip, but it's like a rite of passage. These students, they take a leap of faith. They go into this kind of awkward in-between thing of going on a bus, and many of them come into a maturity in their faith because they discover, again, like God calling them, their identity, and that God empowers them to give witness. That's why I believe the Acts retreat is effective, because you have adults who are taking a leap of faith. They're going into this awkward in-between phase of like a retreat center, not sleeping in your own bed, all those things. But they take a leap of faith. They take, and it's for many Catholics, a rite of passage from an infancy level of faith to opening up like grown-up faith, like living in this reality. And that's why I would suggest, like, I'm offering these things, which have the elements of rites of passage. Again, you can participate more than once in rites of passage. A healing retreat I'm offering at the end of January. It has the elements of a rite of passage, taking a leap of faith, wrestling, and perhaps, yes, God giving you a new appreciation of your identity, love, and His power in you. And I have blue flyers in the back for this healing retreat. So, I'm planting seeds here. God wants something very good for you. If I never do step out in faith, how can I receive the gift that God wants? So you're taking the first step, coming to church. You've taken that first step, coming to church. How can you take that next step? Coming back to church, always good. But I'm planting seeds. Don't be afraid to take a step out in faith on one of these rites of passage. To realize the Father calling you, your identity, and the power He wants you to receive through His love. Amen.